Today on One Question, how would our college experiences, Paul, have been different with today's technology? You've got a question, Paul Testa, myself, Tim DeLoisio. We have answers. Welcome to One Question. Once again, this week's question is, how would our college experience, Paul and I went to college from 1993 to 1997 or 98. How would it have been different with today's technology? And that's everything from how you communicate, what media you consume, how you your education happens. I mean, technology has transformed pretty much everything about the college experience. And while I can't speak to what the college experience really feels like today as a student, what we can do is look at what if we had certain pieces of technology that didn't exist when we went to school. What if we had them? And how would that have changed our lives at the University of New Hampshire?
Yeah. So this, you know, I kind of thought about this because my nephew is going off and starting college in a couple weeks. He's on his way up to New York to start at Marist. And I was just thinking, like, how excited I was when we were going to the University of New Hampshire and not knowing you, never met you. But just meeting friends and doing that whole experience. And I was wondering, like, in today's world where everyone is so connected via a phone or virtually versus, you know, just going out and walking all across the hall to your neighbor and saying, hey, I'm Paul, nice to meet you. Like, how's this going to work for him?
Yeah, I would imagine, you know, right off the bat, I mean, social media and cell phones change everything about that first experience, because my guess is not only have you already talked to and FaceTimed or, you know, Zoomed or whatever, met with your potential roommate, you've shared pictures of all the stuff that you're bringing, you've done, like, you've coordinated everything, maybe you've met people, you know, other people that are going to be in your dorm. I don't, you know, I'm not exactly sure how much information gets out there, but, you know a lot more about the people around you much more quickly than we did without ever having to really introduce yourself. That's kind of scary.
Yeah, I would say definitely from social media. And I don't know if this is like for everyone. I'm using experiences based off of what I know from, you know, an 18-year-old kid going off to college for the first time. But no, it's more like, you know, they look at their social media, they do all that stuff, but there's almost like this fear to contact that person and introduce yourself because they're not used to that in today's society because they play their video games online. They do everything online. They have their friends, but those friends, you know, this is new to them. This is like their new friends where we were always used to going out and making friends and introducing ourselves and going out and playing when we were younger, you know, whether it be wiffle ball or basketball down at the playground, whatever it may be. This is something new to them. Like they are really venturing out for their first time. I would say that we've ventured out much more than they have in their lives because they've lived in this connected world their entire lives.
Hey, it's interesting. When I think about my first, say, week in the dorms, luckily, you know, I did go up to the University of New Hampshire, roomed with a friend from high school, came from a small high school. So it was a culture shock. Even going to UNH felt like this huge world to me, but having at least one anchor point helped, right? And then from there, though, my buddy Murph and I, the first day, it was like we just walked around campus and, like, met people in dorms, and, you know, you just strike up conversation. Everybody's kind of looking to meet other people for the first time because they know we're all in the same boat, right? Like, with, you know, this is just the way
Right.
it this is just the way it happens. I can remember going up to the Student Union building and like doing karaoke in front of the, you know, God knows how many people. I don't think
Man,
that
you
I would. I mean, I don't know if I would have done that in, you know, today's world.
Yeah.
And
I don't see this is where I think the things are so different. Like who is, you know, I know you live with Murph and Murph was a friend from high school, but who was
yeah.
your friend from high school that you left?
Who
Like
was?
didn't go to UNH, you know, that you were buddies with that you hung out.
Oh,
Well,
yeah, tons. I mean, like, obviously, but you know, my closest friend that I that you mean at UNH or somewhere
No,
like went to a
that
different
went to a
school?
different college.
Yeah, like
It,
let's just take my best friend was, you know, Trey, and
okay.
maybe during the school year we would talk on the phone like once.
Right. So
Right? You
you have
leave all your
Trey
other
that
friends
went off and
behind.
his and Trey was doing his experience and feeling
Yeah.
in at his college, and obviously you guys are good friends and you didn't lose your friendship, but you didn't have the connected. Now you
Yes.
could just text Trey all day and still have that connection. You're not forced to leave that in the world that we live in today.
I mean, that's a great point, Paul. I didn't even consider the fact that when we went to you went we went to college, you were going into the bubble, right?
Right. Yeah.
Nothing existed outside of that bubble.
Right.
There was no world that was not in Durham, New Hampshire, maybe Dover, next
Yeah.
town over, but that you really maybe went to, I don't know,
Portsmouth.
a handful of times a
But
year. You had to have a
that's, I mean,
car.
that's what I'm saying. Like my nephew, you know, they have all strict restrictions that are being placed on them due to COVID-19. And like one of the things that he said to me was like, you know, well, we can't leave campus. I was like, I don't think I left campus until my junior year. Like, I honestly don't. I mean, maybe we went to Dover to get whatever that place that made the 12 egg omelet.
And Dunkin' Donuts was out in Dover, so that was nice. You could go get a cup of coffee every now and then.
And then occasionally we would go into Portsmouth, but that was too expensive for us. Now
Oh
the
yeah,
kids
we
have
couldn't
money.
afford
We didn't
that.
have many money back then either. But I, you know, I just think like, no, there was nothing like being on the campus. Like, you know, we had our main street.
Yep.
And those are people that don't know, UNH is pretty much like the Harvard of New Hampshire.
Well, that would be Dartmouth, Paul.
No.
Wait.
Coastal New Hampshire.
Coastal New Hampshire. I'm sure I could come up with another one, but it's not on the tip of my head.
yeah. So, I mean, it is like, those are the things I think about. It's like everyone is so connected now that they might not even feel the need or feel that fear that we felt of like, oh my God. You know, it's, I had two people, three people, that came from my high school that went to UNH that lived in an adjacent dorm, from me. So I had that little bit of a comfort level, but, they were female and, you know, I didn't know any guys. And then, so I had to go on, you know, the 4A bastards of what we were in Christensen. We formed a group like right day one. And, you know, I can remember our late friend, Andy Stevens,
Yep.
was the first person I met, when I, went to, when I checked in. It was my mom and my dad that were moving me in. And this kid, that lived right across the hall from me that just came out and put his hand out. And there was a friendship that started that day, right from that moment.
Yeah, I mean, I think of the people on, I mean, I can still give you the rooms and the roommates of everybody on my wing of Alexander Hall, room by room. And go through, and I would say half of them I might be friends with on Facebook now and actually know some things about what their lives are like right now.
Right.
You know, like I feel like that you did, you made this little pod pretty quickly, and then that pod would travel to the like so the first year. I mean, it happens quick that you make your pod, the pod goes out the first night, and you find a party to go to because obviously you're all underage. And so you travel down to an apartment all together, the 10, 15 of you, you know, you walk in, you hang out, and then maybe that pod grows a little bit, or you find another pod, and I mean, it was just, it really is networking at its, you know, at its finest. You're growing your network of friends and acquaintances, face to face, and that's the only way it can happen. Where now, I.
Can you think of one time where you didn't have a meal with at least four other people? Like, that you all said, okay, 5:30, we're gonna go to the dining hall,
No,
lunchtime.
I mean,
We're,
we all, always travel in a pack to the dining hall, right? Or to the gym, right? Someone would just yell down the hall, let's go left, and then people would just go. Or that didn't happen that often,
I
but
was
it did
kind of like,
happen.
yeah, you know what? I'll just play the video games. You guys go take care of it. I'll meet you at lunch.
But no one said let's go to class.
No,
I guess
no.
that's a different. But you know what? The one thing that might have been better is, I feel like there would have been more ways to keep up with your schoolwork without going to class with today's technology than we had. Really,
Well,
you got the
definitely.
syllabus at the beginning of the year, and if you in the textbooks and all the stuff, and if you didn't go to class, then you kind of had to wing it. There
Yeah.
wasn't really any other way to get the information.
I can tell you every class I went up, but those are one of the things, like, so when I think about that, like, okay, and this is changing the topics a little bit, but one thing I would love to do is be 18 again and know what I know now and go back to college and
That would be
really
wonderful.
focus my studies on things that I'm interested in, instead of just going through that mentality of like, I have to go to college for 4 years so I can get a job and start living my life. Because college, there's so much knowledge you can gain there that I did not take advantage of, that I regret wholeheartedly
I
this
had to
day.
do 2 years and $80,000 of an MBA program at Boston University to make up for my 4 years at the University of New Hampshire.
Right.
No, of which academically I did okay, but I wouldn't trade any of the experience for what I lacked, academically coming out of UNH potentially, that I had to fulfill at BU. That was just because my focus was elsewhere. Like, it's hard work to build friendships and maintain them and grow your social circle and get out of your comfort zone and all that. Like, that was the social side was absolutely the priority for me, and I would say many people. I mean, sure, you had people where academics was their reason for going to college, and they probably plowed right through and had better jobs out of college than we did. But I would say the not out of class lessons that we learned, and the friendships we made did as much for us as, all the academics could have.
Yeah, I mean, I think the social ex and that's kind of like what brings this to is, I hope that kids today don't rely on their connected phone to stay with their high school friends. And I still have some of my high school friends as well, and they're great people. But really, the core of who I met and who are my friend lifelong friends are the people that I met in college. And I mean, we've known each other, Tim, now 26 years, 25, 25,
Did we re
26
yeah.
years. More than half of our lives, a lot more than half of our
Well,
lives. We're not that old.
not that old.
We're both 45, but you're a part of my life almost daily, whether it's one text message or even we don't text for a couple of days. It's like there's nothing, we don't skip a beat when we know because of what we built, the foundation that we built, living together, being in the same fraternity together. The experiences we shared living in Boston together after college, even though we never really lived together in Boston, but
Well,
our
you lived on
houses
my
were right
couch for
near.
2 years.
I did live on your couch many of nights, but those that is so important, and I really think it's important in this time of a person's life, so that they grow, as a person. Like, there's a big difference between high school and college as the person that I was, and furthermore, I'm a entirely different person, from the time I was 31 to 45. Like, my 20 range, was a lot. I mean, just off the top of my head, even though you might argue this, I was a fiery person, and I don't think I'm fiery anymore. I think I've mellowed, and I think I'm more understanding,
I think
and things
that's a
like.
fair point, Paul. But I mean, until I say something to piss you off, and then we'll tip you
or
right
you know
back
like
over.
I mean, I do love debate still to this day. Like, I like when someone, you know, is challenging me, and you're the classic of that. It doesn't matter where we are, Tim, you find something like that just will
I just have to say
me.
two words. I only have to say two words, Paul. Underinflated footballs.
Yeah,
we're done.
We'll send
there,
me
there's
off.
An hour.
Or you'll say, or we'll be at the Masters and you'll say something about Tiger Woods, and then we'll just go into this long, like, passionate debate about Tiger Woods. I meant to say, like, we could have switched this podcast one question. Like, should you or should you not wear sunglasses in a major championship? And that's directed more towards Phil. Like, I'm not liking Phil wearing the sunglasses.
Doesn't look good.
Spend that for another time. But I do love debate, and I do all, and I love when people challenge me. And you have always been notorious on doing that. But we've done that for 25 years, and it's never hurt our friendship at all.
Right.
I don't think.
No.
At least I hope not.
Well, except for that time, remember, I took the picture of the group of us at the table at the guys' weekend, the first weekend, and then you deleted it.
Why? Oh, why did I do that?
You didn't like how you looked. This goes to technology, Paul, right? Like,
yeah.
So if you think back when we went to school, like, maybe some of the girls had actual cameras with film and stuff. Like, you and I, no way. Like, actually, very few, guys had anything to document their college experience from 1993 to 97, unless you were like the historian at the fraternity, and then maybe you had a camera. And that's probably a good thing on many levels. One, it keeps us out of a lot of trouble later in life. Two, I think that the always on mentality of, you know, always having to be ready to have a picture taken or a moment recorded, or, you know, the pressure to have something shared and to, you know, to be doing something cooler than the rest of your friends because you can show them, or they could, you know, that you're seeing what they're doing, that fear of missing out, like all that stuff. We didn't have to deal with any of that in, you know, in real time. You know, maybe the night after you'd be sharing, the morning after a night out, you'd share stories about what you did. And if you weren't together, you might go, oh, that guy had a better time. Wish I was at that party. But that's about it.
Although you could think about the stupid things that we did, and then, like, just those moments captured on Instagram today or Twitter, and all of a sudden, and then the cyberbullying that goes on, or, like, it could ruin someone right from the start. Like, you almost can't fail. Like, you have to be on all the time, like you said, and that's a lot of pressure, and that might keep people from being social. We could do stupid things, and we did a lot of stupid things, and we laughed about it. Afterwards,
everything, Paul, was a relatively a safe space, right? Like, you could really push the boundaries of who you were or who you wanted to be. You could try things out, right? Like, you could try this angle of your personality out a little bit and just see how it worked. And you could try this side out, see how it worked. And the repercussions weren't as great because they weren't etched in time, right? Like, you could really adapt yourself and figure out what the part of you that you really wanted to be, the thing that you really were, would come out, right? But, you know, I don't know if you were always under the pressure of knowing that this is going to define you, any moment can define you. That's hard. That's really hard to deal with.
I needed people like you. I think I'm a personable guy, and when you get to know me, but you got to get to know me. Like, I'm not necessarily that type of person that's going to walk across the room and just, you know, impress someone. But if you sit
in
me, I have the confidence. Like, if you get to know me, like, I have all that confidence, but I'm not necessarily like. Would take it from a girl standpoint. I was never the type of guy that would just go up to a girl and be like, hey, you know, want to go out Tuesday night? No, they have to get to know me before they ever want to remotely hang out with me.
There you go. I gotcha.
Just because that was my personality. Like, my personality was like, I like to get to know people. And if I was worried about, like, let's say that girl saying no to me, first of all, and dealing with that rejection. Now, if I'm living in a world where I'm worried that, like, we're at jungle party and I'm an idiot in the pool splashing around and doing stupid things, and that getting out on Instagram or Twitter or TikTok or whatever the thing may be that these people are using, and then being humiliated by that when the majority of the people around the room get that I'm just being goofy, but out of context, it could be perceived as embarrassing.
I mean, I think that's the biggest point there. It's context fault, right? Like every little snapshot of social media that people are etching in time doesn't have the context of what was happening at the time. And so it can be looked at very badly, very well. I mean, like, it can go both ways, but it's missing all this rich layers of what was happening, who you were with, why you were doing it, what was, you know, just what was going on, that whole backstory. It gets lost in a lot of this, especially as you're flipping through, you know, all of your friends' activity, boom, 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 boom. Do you even take the time to think about the context or the, you know, the backstory? Or you're just like, oh, like, don't like, don't like. And then those likes and don't likes make or break someone on the other side, right? And it's to you, it's just flip, 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 go, go, go. And, you know, I think that's, I don't know. I mean, if you had to give me the benefits and the negatives of all this that we're talking about now, I would choose not having it for college over having it personally.
I think living in a bubble is great. I mean, there are definitely things that I would like. I mean, first of all, I still hate talking on the phone. I would love text messaging, not fancy old text messaging, but give me the keyboard. Don't give me the hit the 2-3 times and all that. But like I would love typing, communication like that. And just to, but maybe it, you know, cut off, like put a geofence around it and it can only be within University of New Hampshire.
But think about even how much just texting would have changed your social, like not your social life, but like, I mean, yeah, well, what you would do on a nightly basis, if you think about it.
I would have got a lot of boob shots.
What did we do, Paul? We like would hang out until 9 o'clock and then
9 o'clock. Oh, you mean before we went out?
Yeah. Yeah.
In the door. Okay. I thought you meant like 9 o'clock.
We're 9 o'clock. Night's over, Paul. Let's pack it in. And but then we'd all know we are either going to go to this fraternity, this apartment, this, you know, with this group down to, you know, whatever place. And like you would all travel together. You decide what time you were going to meet somewhere. But like if plans change for someone along the way, you didn't. It was just word. Hey, did you see so-and-so tonight? Oh, yeah, they were down over here. Right. Like you had no way to connect up with people that weren't immediately with you.
Yeah,
and that's totally different. Like that would just the dynamic of, oh, Paul, you got to get over here and see this, right? Like you're down an apartment down the way. All right.
Or you can just snap a photo of it and send it to me now, you know, like, I mean, that's like before you used to say, you have to get over here. This is happening. I'd run to try and get there in time. But I mean, I think you just brought up a good point. Like, you know, when you go out and you did like, oh, okay, well, everyone meet at D-Hop at 8 or, you know, whatever. We'll get a pizza and then we'll go off to the party. And if the person didn't show up at D-Hop, you're like, all right, well, I guess like that's kind of weird. But it brought me back. What year did we go to Portsmouth for the guys' weekend? Is it like 4 years ago, 5 years ago?
Oh, yeah. That must have been like 5 years ago.
5 years ago, and we stopped by UNH, and we went to the old dorm, and I was like looking, I'm like, well, where's the call box, you know? And this young girl was sitting in the window.
For those who don't know, the call box was the thing you dialed to get into dial a room to get the door to unlock so you could get in.
Yeah, yeah, and then it also was an emergency thing to call the police or whatever as well. And this girl like sitting in the window, just watching these 40-year-old men relive their college experience, said, did you guys used to go here? And we're like, yeah. And I'm like, where's the call box? And she's like, we all have cell phones now. We're like, ah, all right. Makes a lot of sense. Because we were so reliant on that call box.
That's right. And you know, like yeah, communication is how we got to meet up with people. And sometimes it was literally like you passed someone, right? You were going one place and you didn't know where your friend was, and you passed another friend going to another place on the road as you were walking. You're like, if you see so and so, tell him we're over here. And then like an hour and a half later, that person would show up. Oh, yeah. So and so told me that you were over here. And that would be how you'd eventually meet up with people. Or it was small enough that like as attrition went on, as the night went on, you kind of knew where certain people were going to end up, and so you could kind of find your way to those places. And so there were always your friends that you knew they called their shot and they were going to be at X, Y, or Z. And so you'd go to that place and know that at least that person would be there, and then hope that others would find their way there too. I mean, I can only, as a guy,
And those friends would wait for you to go to the next
Oh,
party. Like,
that's
those are the
true.
other cool thing. Like, if they were ready to leave and you weren't there yet, but they knew you were coming, it wasn't like, hey, man, we're both in, meet us at so and so instead. It was like, no, you wait to get there, you go, you have a beer, and then, all right, you go off to the next party. Like, and that's a friendship move right there. It's just like,
And Paul,
everyone was
it's
there
no
for.
surprise that the girls traveled in packs of 30, because it, I mean, that's a sk if you think about really what we're describing, that's a scary world for a young female. If you were in today's world especially, and you didn't have all the different ways to communicate and the ways, like safety, I think I do think it's much safer for women today than it w was then. I don't know if it was as malicious back then, like I'm sure it was to a point, but it I think now that the technology, the ability to communicate different ways and all that really, it really changes, I think, how safety can be viewed on campuses. And so that's definitely a benefit. I mean, something I didn't, I probably didn't wouldn't have thought about, as how technology could influence my experience. But if I was a female, I think that I would think very differently about that.
Yeah, I mean, I can't speak to that too much. But yeah, I mean, I think you make a valid point. Yeah, I mean, they did. They all traveled in big packs. And I think overall, that was probably the smart thing to do.
Well, think about this. One thing you mentioned earlier, I can't remember what made me think of this. If it was something about leaving campus or what have you. If you think about it, right now, kids are paying for their stuff, right? Like at a bar or whatever, their Apple Watch, Apple Pay, funds are getting transferred in, remotely. Paul, we had a local bank account.
Yep, Granite
Right,
State Bank.
with a lo one ATM that you could go to without basically, paying half of your, $20 savings account with an ATM fee to get $10
But
out for the night.
the best ATM, because it's the last ATM in the world that gave out $5 bills. You could go and take out $5.
Literally, you'd go and you would take out the smallest amount of money just to get you through the night, and. But that was that. That's all you had. When you ran out of money, you were done. And if you think about now, like it's pretty easy to spend a lot of money that you potentially don't have at college. For us, it was literally you had to walk to the ATM to get the cash, and that was the only way that you were paying for your night.
And it was cold,
And if I had to pay you, right, it would, I don't know, did I, if we ever like made good money at a bar, right? It was always like, you got around, I got around. And like you didn't, now it's like, all right, PayPal me this, Venmo me this. Your, money's going, the transfer of money is significantly different than we experienced. I would say, I don't know that I learned much about financial independence in college
Oh, see,
because
I would disagree with that. I think we
you
learned a
think
lot
so?
about financial in
Well, I
independence
just
because
didn't have a lot of
we did have to
financials.
budget.
Well, that's true.
Like, you know, like we couldn't, like, honestly, like, I mean, you couldn't do, like, at least for me, I don't know how it was for you, but like, I couldn't go out and buy like an iPad, you know, in like today's world. Like, kids today, I'm sure, are going out and just charging an iPad to a credit card. But like, I mean, no. I mean, it was like once a month we'd get a video game. Once a month, like, you know, you do something like that. Like, I just didn't have the funds to do it. And I worked, you know, I worked my entire time there. But that money went to food
and board,
booze,
food, alcohol.
Yeah. It wasn't spent on iPads, I can tell you that much.
Well, I mean, speaking of iPads, I mean, if you think about the technology that you had in your, let's say, well, in your dorm room, I didn't really have any technology. I had a Sega Genesis and a TV with a VHS, rabbit ears, you know. I don't even think I had a word processor.
No cable.
You had to go to the computer lab to type anything that you were going to hand in. You had the floppy disks, right?
I don't even remember what year we got email. Email, we didn't have it day one.
No, I don't. There's a few interesting things. Some people in the floor had desktop computers, right? But they wouldn't go out to the internet. They would create intranets to play Doom down the hall from each other over the phone lines, right? So like, you could play someone that was down the hall in a different dorm room, and you could dial into it. But we didn't really have, no one had, you know, external internet access at that point.
Right.
I would say that it was really probably our junior or senior year, 96, 97. You could have
like, I got AOL when we lived in the Blue House.
Yeah, that's about when I kind of remember it having access to the... Remember, we thought, wouldn't it be cool if you could get all the sports news about your team from your local papers on your computer, even though we were up in New Hampshire?
Yep. That was our idea. I'll give it to us, because we talked about that over many a beer, many a night, and ESPN just stole it from us.
Yeah, I mean, so personal technology was totally different. It was amazing that you could you literally take your floppy disk down to the computer lab, you'd type it up, you'd send it to the printing lab, which was like, I don't know, couple buildings away. You have to go and pick it up, but not right away, because everything had to get printed and then put like on a shelf for you, and you had to go and get it, right? And you couldn't email it to your professor, or I don't know, did we ever hand in a floppy disk, or did you always have to print it out?
No, I think we always had to print it out. And those floppy disks, I mean, how many times did you corrupt the disk? Like, that was the worst. That was the worst. So there, you know, you think about the technology now and just everything being in the cloud, like that would have been so helpful.
I think the educational experience is obviously where technology changes the game the most, you know. It's totally different. It's a totally different learning experience, from consumption of what you're learning to the creation of content and responses back to, you know, professors, etc. I mean, everything's totally transformed. I don't know that someone now could go back and sit in one of our classes, you know, go to the class, take handwritten notes, you know, read the textbook, and then that was what your test was. It was your textbook and your notes.
Remember the blue books? Remember the blue books?
Oh, right? The
essays? Oof.
But, you know, that would be fun. I mean, there's more technology now, Paul, in our elementary schools than we had in college.
Oh, there's no doubt.
Yeah, that's pretty wild to think of. Another way technology has changed, and I don't know if you tell me what you think, what would be better, is there's no Netflix. There was no YouTube TV, DVRs, you know, any of that stuff. There was no content on demand. You had, like in our dorm, we had our VHS libraries to watch movies that we had recorded and bootlegged, right? You had the rabbit ear, so you could maybe get the local, I think it was ABC affiliate. or
Yeah,
I can't even remember
WMUR,
Channel 9,
Channel 9.
WUNH. And you had a Sega Genesis or a Super Nintendo, and you'd be basically playing Hockey 93
Three.
or Super Tecmo Bowl or, Madden.
But those are the things that I wouldn't like. That was great. Like just having like tournaments on the dorm
Yeah, you'd,
floor.
and you'd have like 20
Like,
people in a room, all watching two people play against each other. Like the original Twitch streaming in your dorm room. But now, the video game's just as important, but it's all online, right? Or on your phone, or but it, you're not necessarily, it's not this communal experience with your friends right there that it was for us.
Or at least, yeah. I mean, we're making assumptions there, to a certain degree, but yeah, I hope it is. Like, that's my hope is I hope these kids that are going off to college look at it as a bubble, as their own little ecosystem that they're in now, and grow and do that because it. I don't know. I go back. It is the time of my life. I absolutely adored all 5 years of it. For myself, it was sad that when you left after four and went
I know.
on,
If I knew you could stay five, I probably would have planned better.
no, it was just me and Poldy that stayed five. But it was, and it, I mean, really take advantage of it because if you rely too much on the technology, you're gonna miss out on a lot of stuff. And that's just, I mean, it was just something that I've been thinking about, and like I hope my nephew really takes this experience and goes with it because it's a once in a lifetime experience.
It is, and it's funny to think of. I mean, my sister, about 7 years younger, right? Is that right? Do I have that math right? I think I
Don't
do.
know.
It's a little late. But her experience at the University of North Carolina was so different than mine. And we went down to visit. It was like we were trying to recreate our college experience on her college campus. It didn't quite fit. Something was a little bit off. Remember, we went into the fraternity there watched the Duke UNC game, and that was the closest experience to
That was pretty similar. I
that
mean, it
was
was a
pretty
bunch,
similar
the
until
whole,
everyone then ran outside after UNC
and
beat
then,
Duke and carried furniture down to the center of the town and lit it
lit
on
cars
fire
on
and tipped
fire.
cars.
We never did that. We never lit a car on fire.
I think
That was an interesting.
we did almost light a couch on fire.
We lit many a couch and many a mattress on fire. If that was always an end of the year ritual, like
But not in public, always behind the house.
remember the fire marshal used to come every year and speak to us and be like, "That stuff gives off a cyanide gas." We're like, "Whatever, burn it."
Oh boy. But I mean, like, we go back to how would your college experience have been different with today's technology? I feel like more often than not, the technology would have lessened the experience as opposed to added to it. As we've talked through it, I just think it would have opened up many other doors. I mean, so many different things could have happened. And I think our college experience was in some ways smaller, right? And a little bit more linear than, what kids can go through today. But I thought that was what was really great about it, right? Like it wasn't overwhelming. It was just the perfect size to get out into the world for the first time on your own, right? It wasn't too big. It wasn't too small. It was just about right. And that's what made it
Well,
work.
think about it. I mean, there's 14,000 people on that campus, right? What do we know? 200 of them? 300 of them? Between classes and real friends, like 20, maybe more at different times or whatever. And you're part of a fraternity, there's 70 people in the fraternity. Everyone's really close on that. But like in general, we knew a very small percentage of the UNH population. Well, you bring Tinder and Instagram and Facebook and all of that to the world. Now it's like you virtually can introduce yourself to so many different other people within the campus,
right?
And grow, like go off over here and then go off over there and just meet all these people that we didn't know. I mean, our graduations, like we didn't know everyone that was graduating. It's not like high school. You knew every single person that went across the stage. You didn't know everyone in college. Like, oh, I was here 4 years with you. I never even saw you.
Yep.
So is that a good thing or a bad thing? You know, are you limiting yourself by only staying in your small little pod? But I also think that I'm like you, like, I think that was a huge benefit. It's like, you know, you built your own town within this city.
Yeah. I think that's a good way to put it. And that's what I would worry about the most. And also, I'll also add the depths of the friendships, not to mention I met my wife, right? So the depths of how the people I've met in college had changed my life and that it carried through 25 years later is, you know, I don't know, would I have, if I could have, if technology would have allowed me to meet so many more people, would I have had the depth of relationships with the 20 to 30 to 50 people that I do, right? Like that those relationships are more important to me than almost anything, you know, in my life now. And I don't know if I would have had them in the same way if I could have met 500 people at a more superficial level.
I can almost guarantee you that you wouldn't have. Like, I mean, everything would have been so surface level.
But then we're making, I do think we are making a few assumptions, right? Like, because we haven't been through that. And I think what you're saying.
Well, I mean,
too,
I can tell you, like, fear, in today's right? world, that you know, when I try and meet new people and things like that, you know, I left New England and went to Florida and moved down here, and there's very, very few deep friendships that I've formed in the technology age here. I have a ton of acquaintances, very good people, but. Tim, if I was walking down whatever the road is, you know, that goes to Dover and I twisted my ankle and
at 2 o'clock in the morning,
at 2 o'clock in the morning and I, I called you, you would come and get me. If you didn't have a car, you would walk to get
me.
I would do that for you. And so many would have done that for all of us. Like those are the types of friendships that we form today in early. So if I can take it down to, you know, the now 17 years I've lived in Florida, there's about two or three people that I could say that would do that for me. But I can also say that I have a ton of people that I consider friends and nice to hang out with and share laughs with, but not that I'd do anything for you type of thing. So
yeah. And I mean, I think that
I have some sort of reference.
Yeah. And I think the lack of the lack of technology, the importance in face-to-face communication, the depth of those relationships is, you know, it's all related. I absolutely believe that. Let's see, Paul, any other pieces of technology I had some other stuff prepared around, you know, just how, you know, technology has changed the media landscape between now and then. But I mean, we talked about it a little bit. It, much more appointment viewing, like Thursday night television was huge for us before we went out. And if you look at the box office shares or the Nielsen shares, like 20% of televisions were tuning in on Thursday nights to watch ER, Seinfeld, Friends, and whatever the other show, there were a couple others that mixed in with that lineup over the years. Monday Night Football was huge ratings, like, you know, 15% of televisions on Monday Night Football at the time. The box office, there were huge movies, Titanic, Jurassic Park, cult classics like Pulp Fiction that you remember going with your friends to the theater to watch, right? I want, now it's totally different. You're binging, shows quickly. You're not really doing that. You're doing that asynchronously with your friends. You're not watching the same thing at the same time. How do you have those conversations about a show that you've watched? Like, if you stream Stranger Things and I stream Stranger Things, but we've done it not at the same time. Like, how do we have a conversation about it in the way that you could have episode to episode to episode of something back then? And so
Interesting. Like, I mean, I think you can do that. Like, I think you can have the conversation, but I watch Stranger, I watch 4 episodes of Stranger Things. You've watched 5 episodes of Stranger Things, and we just don't go into that fifth episode. We can have the conversation, but there's something to be said about, like, we didn't live together every single year. We lived together 1 year, right?
Well,
We lived
in the fraternity, in that the
in the
year,
fraternity.
yep.
We were in different rooms or lounges of the fraternity,
Yes.
right? Yeah. But like, or I'm gonna go up to Tim's Lounge and watch Friends because Friends is on. Like, we were gonna
Yeah.
watch it at 8 o'clock together. Like, that's
Yes.
what we were gonna do. Or when we lived in different apartments, I'd go over to your apartment to watch that show together, to share those moments together. Because none of us could run a VCR. I don't think anyone, first of all, no one knows how to work a VCR.
Well,
We
no,
would
and the
try.
other thing is, it would invariably, if you had it programmed, it'd get unplugged for some reason, and then the clock would reset, and
You
then you were
come back and it's
screwed.
flashing 12 and you're like, mother, ma. But so, I mean, it was it, those we made those ever, like, yeah, because we wanted to share those moments together. Now, you can watch it on your iPad, so I get that you can still have the conversations, but there was something about, and it wasn't just you and I mean, I'm making it sound like you and I were like
Right, no, but
a group of us, that would do this and would share and laugh and share those moments together. But you had to be there at the time, or if you were late, you were like, oh, I missed the first 5 minutes. That
Well,
sucked.
and then the thing that happens when you watch something with someone at the same time is, like, someone in the room then makes a comment or a joke or ha pulls something out, right, from what you're watching that then becomes a story of its own. You know what I mean? Like, you like that's how, these organic shared memories kind of take life. And I think it's interesting. Like, we do have a guy's reunion we try and do every couple of years, every year if we can. And it's interesting to see the change in the dynamic from when we're just texting each other or, like, talking on Facebook or what have you, versus when we all go to a house for a weekend and we fall right back into these patterns we're talking about, how much more fun that is.
That's actually a really good point, because you think about it, like, who hates a group message more than me? Like, there's no
Mute,
one that
mute,
hates
mute, mute,
group
mute.
text messages more than me. And you would think, right? Like, you would think, like, wow, Paul's probably not excited to go to this. Like, he's not really. My answers are short. Like, yep, see you there. Land it when you get in 9:30. Like, whatever. Just get me out of the group text. But when we have that dynamic, when we're all together, it's just instant laughter. Like, it's instant, like, you rag on me, Tedford rags on me, I rag back on all of yous, we all kill Murph. Like, it's just like, oh, poor Timmy. Like, Timmy is just like absolutely tortured. It's literally 72 hours of torturing Timmy.
Yes.
And
And
we,
all that
well,
happens because, like, if we didn't have that experience in college, I don't know that we would have that to fall right back into. And so, for everyone that's heading off for the first time, like, this is an opportunity socially to make meaningful relationships, to have just really fun times focusing on the people that you're with in the moment that you're in it. Make the most of those. Don't worry about, what else is going on and how is this going to look if I shit. Don't bother sharing it. Enjoy it. And so that would be my advice to all the people going off for the first time. And who knows, maybe college in the Corona era it starts
We'll
to
bring
feel
that
more
back.
like the bubble, right? Like maybe, I don't know. Maybe that changes the way people interact. It'll be interesting to see. I mean, this year's college entrants are really facing something that no one has ever faced before. So I don't envy the situation that they're going into.
Yeah, that's
Good luck
interesting. Like I thought this,
to
like we talked about this and what we're gonna do, and I and we do prepare for these shows, but you know, a lot of it is kind of off the cuff. And I really love how this conversation went. Like I think it was a really like I was thinking more along the lines of like, you know, champion sweatshirts and jeans versus, you know, beautiful dresses and, you know,
There's
dolled
so
up.
many
Like,
layers you can go with, right? When you compare then and now, but I think that really the more important stuff is I think where we ended up taking the conversation, which is great.
Yeah, it was really funny. Like it just clicked. Like I don't know if it was one of the things that you said that it just was like, man, yeah, this it's more about the scaredness that we felt walking onto a campus and the safety places that we found to make it enjoyable and comfortable. And that is something, and it just dawned on me, like, you know, my nephew or he could just talk to his friend that went to Stanford, you know, which is all the way across the country, and just,
And it's
you know.
great to be able to keep contact with those high school friends. Like, I think there is tremendous value there, but you can't do it, lean on it to the fault of what's happening in front of you. You know what I mean? Like, if you never break out of that bubble, that of friends that you can talk with virtually, you're going to miss out on a lot of great experiences. I'm sure that we can, we'll have more conversations about different aspects of, our college years and other things. But I thought this was a really interesting spin on it, especially with everyone heading off to college over the next couple of weeks as summer comes to a close. I've seen lots of now as a parent, lots of people in the community on my Instagram feeds have been dropping their kids off at different colleges or preparing to say goodbyes. It flips the script. It doesn't feel like that long ago I was packing up my car to drive up to UNH for the first time, but here we are. Until next time, that's been One Question. Once again, you can follow us on Twitter at One Question Pod. On Facebook, look for the One Question Podcast, or on Instagram, One_Question_Podcast. We'll talk to you again soon.
Job's a joke, you broke.